Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
We have a building. Now, let me tell you, and I've said this before, that when we signed the paperwork 2 years ago, which we celebrated last week, as pastors, we didn't realize we were going to be co-builders. Yeah. And let me tell you, if I could describe one scene, it would have been chaos. Chaos. Absolutely chaotic. You drive past the building and you get photos like this, which is going to come up here soon. Does that look organized? When I looked at that, I was like, I hope you know what you're doing. Mr. Sparky, do you know which wire goes where? Well, we've got lights on, we've got air conditioning, so they must have known where they were going. Another one was this, scaffolding, lights, wood everywhere, panels everywhere. This is the lobby, by the way. This is what the lobby looked like. You know that lobby out there that's nice and pretty? That's what that looked like. Again, chaotic. But then I'd leave and I'd go to Pete's office, Pete the builder's office, and he's got a little site office there. And Pete would be standing there like this, and he would have these bunch of papers. And he'd be going through these papers, and there's squiggles on these papers. Have you ever seen papers like this before? Yeah, some of you have, some of you haven't. Let me tell you, those that haven't, you're not missing anything. Seriously. But you get to something like this, and he makes sense of that. These are all his little sticky notes. But he looks at those squiggles and he goes, yeah, that's going to happen there, and there's going to be that there, and there's going to be plugs there. I'm like, what the heck? What gift have you got? You've got some other kind of gift here. But you know what? Bottom line is that detailed design that's on there shows exactly what's meant to be built and how it's meant to be built. That detail down there actually shows that where nails are going, where handles are going, where light switches are going. Those details over there, the builder follows, but also every tradie. You know that first photo with the chaotic, all the wires there? I mean, that's somewhere on those forms. That's all written down there as well. Now, I couldn't read it properly. I couldn't, but Pete the Builder could. Pete the Builder could, and so could every one of his tradies, because they had what's known as blueprints. Everything was guided by the blueprints. And that chaotic sight that we saw actually became a dream fulfilled. A dream fulfilled. Here's the point. The point is what looks messy and chaotic to the outsider is actually a masterpiece to the architect and the builder. The church is the same. The church is the same. What may seem chaotic, imperfect, even fractured at times is actually the construction site of the architect. It's actually the construction site of the architect, God Himself and His builder, Jesus. God has a blueprint for His church, an eternal plan, and every part in its place is built by Christ Himself. The church is God's eternal design. And you and I, we're not just bystanders. We are co-builders in His house. So this week I've titled my message, we're looking at ecclesiology, the theological study of the church. And I've entitled this message, God's Eternal Plan. And I want you to understand that the church isn't just an afterthought. It's not an afterthought. Our scripture this morning is Ephesians 3, verses 8 to 11. If you've got your Bibles, great, get them out. While you're getting them out, the context that I have this morning is the Apostle Paul is writing his letter from a Roman prison. And he's not discouraged. He's not overwhelmed. He's actually overwhelmed with purpose.
in his part of this letter, Paul is sharing the mystery. There's a mystery about God. I don't know if you know this, but there's a mystery about God that had been hidden for ages that has now been revealed through Christ. And that mystery is that God's plan wasn't just for one people group, but for all nations, for all people, for Jews and Gentiles to do be what? To be brought together in Christ as one body. And that body is referred to as the church. The church. Everybody say the church. Verse 8, although I am less than the least of all God's people, his grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone, underline that line, that word, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Verse 10, his intent was that now, I love it, his intent was that now, underline the word now, through the church, there it is, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Through the church, made known according to his eternal purpose. The thought I want to unpack is that the church is not man-made organization, but God's eternal plan in action. As disciples, as followers of Jesus, we carry both the greatest privilege as well as the highest responsibility in all of history. And that is to be co-builders of something that began before time and will continue beyond it. What am I saying? The church is heaven's blueprint for earth. The church is heaven's blueprint. It is central to God's eternal plan. Verse 11, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished. It's his eternal purpose. That Greek word, Greek phrase for eternal purpose means the plan set forth before the ages. In other words, before there was anything, this was in God's heart. He designed a family. He designed a people. He designed a community that would reflect his love, display his wisdom, extend his kingdom way before anything began. He designed it. Important to know, church, is that the church was not a plan B before, after the fall of humanity. It was not a plan B. It wasn't an afterthought. The church was in his heart way before time began. This means the church is not incidental. It's essential to God's mission in the world. Another way to say this is because you are the church. You are the disciples of Jesus. You are very much essential as co-builders to God's mission. You play a role in this. Essential does not mean helpful. Essential means critical. You're not helping God. You are essential. It's critical that you play your role as the church to fulfill God's eternal plan. You and I play a part, a critical part for redemption, for reconciliation, and even revelation. And this reinforces the points we covered in the past couple of weeks of the Disciples' Life series, especially where we finished last week in Matthew 5, 13 to 16. And it's funny that Chris referred to it as well, that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Jesus wasn't declaring identity statements. He's saying as a son, as a daughter of God, you the church, therefore you are part of the original plan. Then if this blows your mind the way it blows my mind, you're not just here by chance. You're part of his original plan. Last week I said this. I said you are mandated to be influential for righteousness. But I want to add something. You are mandated to be influential for righteousness from before time began. Before time began. A plan was set forth before the ages. For you to be influential for righteousness. Let's bring that a little bit closer to home. You have not been randomly placed at Yuma East. Do you think you're here by chance?
Uh-uh. Sorry. Not on my watch.
You're here for a purpose. You haven't been randomly placed in Doncaster or where Box Hill or Blackburn North or wherever you are. You're here on purpose. You haven't been radically placed or just randomly placed in Melbourne and Victoria and Australia. You've been here for a purpose. You are God's ingredient for transformation right here, right now. Right here, right now. Not tomorrow. Now. What you do matters far beyond what you can see. Why? Because you're part of something that began before Genesis 1 and will last beyond Revelation 22. Those of you who don't know, that's before the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible. As you serve His calling, as you serve His purposes, you are actually fulfilling a heavenly assignment, a plan that was set forth before the ages. Say, ouch. Look at your neighbor and say, are you listening? Look at the other neighbor and say, he's talking to me. My second point is this. The church displays the manifold wisdom of God. It's crazy, but we actually sang about this. And I think even Chris mentioned these words. The church displays the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3:10. Now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. That Greek word for manifold is multicolored, multifaceted, similar to a diamond. The church is similar to a diamond, people. It reflects the multifaceted wisdom of God in every direction. Now, hello, how is a diamond made? Under pressure. Oh, I don't want to hear anything about pressure, JJ. Sorry, you're going to get it. But it's through the pressure that we become like diamonds and that we become that multifaceted, light shining person that God uses to reveal His wisdom. Come on, church. It, as a diamond, the church reflects the multifaceted wisdom of God in every direction. Let's take it back to the disciple chats that we had over these couple of weeks. You are the light of the world. Get a new revelation. You are the light of the world. In other words, look at this, look at this. As the church, by uncovering your light, you reveal the many-colored, multifaceted wisdom of God. Where? Within the world. Within the world. But there's one more thing. This is what I love about Scripture. Scripture is layer on layer on layer. You see, Scripture reveals something else. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. Wait for it. Here it comes. The church isn't just a reflection of God's wisdom within the world, but it is also a witness to the heavenly realms. Look at the importance that you play on this planet right now. You getting this? Your reflection of God's wisdom is watched where? In the unseen realms. Let me spell that out. Angels are watching. Oh, he's talking about angels. He's getting all weird. This is biblical. This is biblical. Rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. I am now just fleshing that out. Angels are watching, not to judge, but to marvel. 1 Peter 1:12 tells us even angels long to look into the things of salvation. They stand in awe when they see the grace of God at work through us. Angels, heaven is watching. Ooh, he's even getting more weird. Hebrews 12:1 reminds us that heaven is cheering us on like a great cloud of witnesses. And here it comes. Demons are watching. Because they tremble at a unified, spirit-filled church. That's right there. You should have clapped your hands. Was that a brilliant point? That's a point we should be celebrating. That's a point we should be excited about. You see, your obedience, your unity, your worship, your sacrifice, your service, they don't just echo in a room of this size. They reverberate within eternity. They reverberate within eternity. So as we lead in love, as we walk in unity, as we serve with humility, we're not just building a ministry. Everything we declare, everything we do declares to every realm that this is what the wisdom of God looks like. Everything we do reveals another facet of God's wisdom. Another facet. I love the Passion Translation. The footnotes say this. The church is the university of the angels. And every believer. Any believers in here? All right. Those who raised your hands, this is for you. Those who didn't, it's not for you. Every believer is a professor. Any professors in this room? All of you should be raising your hands. Every believer is a professor teaching the heavenly realm the mysteries and wonders of the grace of God. What? Doctor, you're a doctor. You're a doctor. You're a professor. You're a doctor. Come on. You and I, we are the professors teaching the heavenly realm the mysteries and wonders of the grace of God. This is no small thing, church. This is no small thing. Think about it. Heaven watches when you are the church, forgives. They are in awe. Wow, look what's happening. You know why? Because forgiveness can only be offered this side of heaven. Whoa. You see, there's no offense in heaven. They've not seen the forgiving facet of God until you forgive. Heaven is in awe as the church becomes unified, because the only place that there is division is here, this side of heaven. They don't know division. Guess what hell does when the church becomes unified? They freak out. They manifest. When the church is united, why? Because unity within the church is not just harmony. It's part of God's eternal plan. Unity is a weapon. It's a witness. It's a window through which the different realms see another facet of God's wisdom. Whew. This excites me. This is who you are. This is who I am as the church. The church, capital T, capital C. There's many millions of us across the globe. If we would all just get it. Not here, here. If we could get it and walk with it. Can you imagine? Jesus would be coming back soon. Because the world would be converted. Bring it on. We've been singing Kumbaya with Jesus. Lastly, I want to alleviate the pressure. Yes, you are the church. But Jesus himself said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not come against it. That word Hades, the gates of hell will not come against it. The Greek word translated build, it means figuratively to establish, to strengthen and edify. That's Jesus' role, is to establish and to strengthen the church. Anybody in the church here that needs strengthening? I think, I won't say what I'm going to say. We all need strength. Anybody need edification? We all need edification. I believe that this is God's gentle reminder that the church's ultimate success does not depend on human strength. You see, the church is a plan set forth before the ages. the responsibility is on God himself. I will build my church. This is Jesus talking. Jesus is the builder of the church. He's not talking about bricks and mortar. He's talking about people. How does he build? How does he build? With co-builders. Who are the co-builders? Look to your left. Look to your right. It's them. Don't look at me. Look to the person. Mr. Abdelmalek, look at one another. Yeah, but your bro. Your bro is a co-builder. Co-builders. He does it with you and with I. How does he do it? Through the gospel being preached. By the power of the Spirit being released. As we release salts and light. As we make disciples. Shiloh just sent me a message. There's a lady sitting over here somewhere. Sorry, I don't know where. But she came a couple of weeks ago and got prayer for her wrist. Her wrist is completely healed. She came this morning to testify her wrist is completely healed. Praise Jesus. What happened there? The power of the Spirit brought the healing that Jesus has brought for you and for myself. That is how we are co-builders. We are obedient disciples. You see, through your obedience to his word, you are co-builders. Co-builders. He builds the church on through how we love. He builds a church on how we live. He builds a church on how we lead. Every time you love somebody well, every time you push back the darkness, every time you stamp on a lie and release the truth, every time you preserve righteousness, you are helping, you are co-building the kingdom of God. You are co-building with Jesus. I want you to see this today. Matthew 16:18 is more than a promise. I will build my church. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee of what, JJ? It's a guarantee that it is his church. He owns it, people. It's a guarantee that it is his responsibility. He will build it. It's a guarantee that there is victory. His victory. Nothing will stop it. The gates of hell will not. Nothing will stop it. Tim, I need you. Please. I don't know if you felt that responsibility just lifted off you. You don't have to build. You're just going to be the co-builders. Yeah. It's all in here. It's all we've got to do. All in here. So I conclude by encouraging you. I want to encourage you to see the church as heaven sees her. Not as a Sunday service machine. Not as a religious club. No. The church is the radiant bride of Christ being made ready for his return. Let me encourage you to lead as the church with eternity in mind. Heaven watches. Heaven watches everything you do. Heaven listens to everything you say. And every time you reveal another facet of God's wisdom. Whew. Demons take notice. I said it. By the way, thank you to all those who came to Team Advance. We had one of the biggest outcomes here on Wednesday night. I said to the team at Team Advance, I said this. Hey, yeah, we've been in this building now over 2 months, close to nearly 3 months. But you know what? It's not time to take the foot off the pedal. It's not time to become complacent. It's not time to put our feet up. I wish we could, but we can't. Because this is why we can't. Because as soon as we put our feet up and cross our arms and sip on our long black, and we're not vigilant, and we're not praying, and we're not seeking, and we're not advancing, guess what? The enemy goes, got them where I want them. Not on my watch. Not on Paulina's watch. It's now time, church. The church. You're the church. It's time to turn up that bunsen burner. It's time to go to another level. I had Ruth come and tell me there's something. She said, I got the word precipice on the edge. Whew. It's a word for us. We're on the edge of a breakout, of the fire of God. We're on the edge of seeing people stream into those doors who do not yet know Jesus. We're on the edge of seeing signs, wonders, and miracles break out constantly in every group, be it in youth, be it in kids, be it in life groups, in every group. I declare it today in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you, lastly, as the church, you don't have to make ministry happen. Stay connected to the vine. Draw from His strength, and ministry will be the overflow. We spoke about this in the discipleship series. But everything you do, do it as the church. Capital T, capital C. Because even the smallest act, you know that food that you give your neighbor? You know that meal that you gave your neighbor? You know that cutting their lawn or setting up chairs on a Sunday or smiling at the door or showing cars to the car park? All of that is part of the eternal blueprints. In the eyes of God, nothing we do for Him is too small. It is eternal. It is eternal. It is eternal. You are the church, not this building. In other words, when you leave through that door, climb in your car, the church leaves this building, climbs in the car, goes to Macca's. The church walks into Macca's. The church walks into Hungry Jack's. The church walks into I nearly wanted to advertise another shop, but I won't advertise that shop unless they give us $1 million for the building. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. All right. But where you go, you're the church. When you walk into that office on Monday morning, you're the church. You got your hat on. You're going, God's blueprints. God, you're using me today. What do you want me to do? JJ, I want you to love today. What? Love that person who stabbed me in the back. It's on the blueprint. It's part of the blueprint. Forgive that family member who's thrown you out because you said yes to Jesus. Why? It's on the blueprint. It's on the blueprint. It's part of His blueprint.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.